Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, They Said What?, where we talk about confusing emojis, shocking photos, HGTV, and more. And we wrap it up with our BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started. Hi, welcome to episode 138. Hey there, Laura.
Well, hello.
Oh, you sound just full of energy.
Bouncing you poor off thing. The walls.
Okay. Yes, yes. Okay, tell us what's going on.
Okay. I'm just actually really enjoying being like in a quiet room all by myself right now.
Oh, that's nice. Yes. Soak it up.
So we can record as long as we want. This might be a 3-hour episode of just Laura taking deep breaths.
It's going to be the listener's meditation episode.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what everyone tunes in for. Okay, so uh-huh. I am 37 weeks pregnant. I'm at the end of my 37th week.
Wow.
And, you know what, let's get to that at the end, because I feel like that's probably what people want to hear about, because it's like, whoop, we're getting to the end. But I still have a 2-year-old toddler who has had an interesting week, so I just wanted to share a few things about that first. So I just wanted to report that, if you recall, in a previous episode, you taught us about the mother's kiss.
Yes.
I think it was a Today I Learned. And basically what it is you put your, like, if something's stuck up your kid's nose, nostril, you can, like, put your mouth over their mouth and plug the other nostril and, like, blow in and try to, like, dislodge. I think, like, a common thing would be, like, a bean up their nose.
A pea.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, this week I successfully used the mother's kiss for the first time.
What? Oh, yeah. My God. Okay, tell me about it.
I used it on a mint leaf that he shoved up his nose.
They do smell good, so I gotta give him that. I would probably shove some up my nose, too.
Yeah, so out in our yard, I have some mint plants and, like, some pots. And one of his favorite things to do is to go and tear the leaves off and smell them. And then he walks over and, like, makes me smell them. And we've done this for months. This is just, like, a routine, right? And I don't even care about him tearing the plant up, because mint grows like a weed. So this week, we were just out in the yard, and he was going and doing his tearing off the mint leaves and making me smell them. And then I noticed that he was shoving them up his nose.
I can't get enough of the mint leaf.
The way I actually noticed it was he was, like, trying to, like, sniff it. And I was like, wait, do you have it in your nose? He was like, yeah. So I went over and I did the mother's kiss, and it popped right out.
Wow.
Oh, my God. He thought it was the funniest thing that's ever happened to him.
Oh my God. I'm so glad, because I was like, how did he react? I could see Cece losing her mind if I tried to do this to her.
Yeah, I thought he might find it really weird, but no, it was like, I did it and I got it out. He was like, more? More? I was like, I'm not doing more, little weirdo.
Glad it was a success. That's cool.
And I didn't know if it would work on, like, something kind of flimsy like a leaf, but it worked. So there you go.
Yeah. All right. Good to
know. All right. So there's that. And then the real quick thing I wanted to talk about, because I thought it might help people, maybe you as well, is that we've had a bit of a potty training setback this week. And I wanted to talk about it. We actually had a little bit of a regression a couple weeks ago, and I didn't know what to attribute it to, because he was doing really, really well. And it was just with pee. It was just a thing where, like, he'd be playing, and then he'd go pee-pee, and I'd look down, and he's, like, peed all over the floor. And he had been really great about prompting and, like, always, you know, he hadn't had accidents for weeks and weeks. And then I realized, when he was having trouble falling asleep for some naps, and I noticed a lot of drool, and I stuck my finger in his mouth at risk of, you know, losing the finger, that those 2-year molars were coming in.
Oh, so that, you think, caused the setback.
So then I went onto my Facebook group that's, like, all about the oh crap potty training method, and did a search, and there were so many posts about molars causing the 2-year molars coming in causing a regression. So it seems to be a really common thing. So I just wanted to mention it because if you run into that or anyone else is running into that, I just want to reassure you that it's like not going to last forever. Because so a couple weeks ago, he got like 3 of his 4 molars in at once, which must have really sucked.
Oh, gosh.
And then this week, he's starting to get the 4th one in. And lo and behold, he's starting to have, you know, pee accidents here and there. So, you know, this time, thankfully, I was just like, you know what? It's so unlike him to have these accidents. Let me feel in that mouth. And there it was. Oh, and so now we're just, what we're just trying to do is get through the tooth coming in. So like I'm prompting him a lot more, just taking him to the potty more and just expecting it to be a thing.
Okay.
So, but that was a bit of a revelation because Corey was getting really frustrated. He was like, what are we doing wrong? Why isn't he, you know, he wasn't really getting like angry at my toddler, but you know, it's frustrating when you're constantly having to like change pants and.
Oh, I know.
Especially when you've gotten used to not having to do all that. So once we realized it was the teeth, it kind of just gave it a little less weight. And so
and some sympathy, you know, it's like, oh, poor buddy, like he's dealing with something painful. And that's a lot for a little 2-year-old to all do and keep on top of it once that the potty and everything. So you can feel for the little guy.
Yeah, I do feel for him. So just wanted to mention that. So that's what's going on with the toddler. OK. Woo. So pregnancy. Home stretch. If I don't go into labor this coming week, I will have a baby via planned C-section 8 days from now.
Oh, my gosh.
On my 30, the day I turn 39 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't remember how hard it was at this point. Like, I think I had blocked it out.
Yeah.
Or maybe I just didn't have a toddler then. And so it wasn't this hard. And it wasn't a pandemic. But
that's true. Circumstances are just slightly different this time around.
Yeah, but I'm so tired. I'm so out of breath. And one problem that we're having that's pandemic related is that my mom was supposed to come down last weekend.
Oh.
My mom and my stepdad to start helping. You know, she had planned to come down 2 weeks before my due date so that she could start taking care of the toddler and we could, you know, do some nesting and just get our last minute stuff all together and not have to worry about if I go into labor early. And then things got a little messed up because of the pandemic because she was able to get her first dose of the vaccine up in Portland, where she's been living with my stepdad. And we realized that if she came down when she wanted to, she might not be able to get the second dose, which is really important for getting your full immunity. So instead, she stayed up there an extra 10 days. So now she's coming down like the middle of next week, and we're just hoping and praying that I don't go into labor before then.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. If you do, I guess it's just all on you, huh?
Well, yeah. So what we have is we have a contingency plan where we have friends from my mommy and me class who we were like sort of potted up with for a while until the numbers got really bad and then we backed off. But we would see them about once a week for months. And my toddler like loves the parents, so, like loves the kid. This kid is 20 minutes older than my toddler. Like they're the exact same age. They're little buddies and they're basically like family to us now. And so they're our backup. So,
oh, good.
If I go into labor, we're calling them. They're going to, you know, the dad's going to come over probably and help take care of my toddler. And, you know, I think he'll be comfortable with him. And since they have a kid the literal exact same age, they know exactly what to do with him, you know.
Good.
So that's good. But yeah, I'm just feeling very... It's starting to feel very real. And boy, do I wish I had help right now.
Oh, I bet.
Other than Corey. Corey is being a very big help. I mean, I really can't like underemphasize how helpful he's being right now. And I would be so lost if he wasn't like a great equal partner and super good at taking care of the toddler and stuff. But, you know, our house is a fucking disaster. Like, just a complete mess. And like, you know, we've gotten the bare minimum of stuff done. You know, we had to put together a new wardrobe because we didn't have anywhere to put the, you know, like dresser drawers or whatever.
Oh, right.
From IKEA, because we didn't have anywhere to put the baby clothes. So like, we got that done. But like, you know, piled the cardboard up outside in our yard because we didn't have the energy or time to like dispose of it properly, you know, stuff like that. So yes. I'm really looking forward to my mom getting here and hoping I don't go into labor beforehand.
Yeah. So how many days will you have with her before the scheduled C-section? Like 3?
Sounds like it. Well, it kind of depends, too, if she has any bad reactions to the vaccine, because I know that people are having like fever and chills and stuff. So and she has to drive from Portland down to L.A., which is a long drive. So hopefully like 3-4 days. Maybe when I'm in the hospital, they can like get the house into order.
Yes, you know? That's a good idea. So how do you feel about possibly going into labor early? Are you feeling nervous or like, get this baby out of here sooner than later? Like you're welcoming it?
It's so hard because like, yeah, part of me is just like, get this baby out of me. I want it out, you know. Uh-huh. We'll figure it out even if we don't have help. On the other hand, I would really like my mom not to miss out on being there, you know, for that and to have the extra help. But I will say, I think 2 nights ago, I might have gotten my first real contraction.
Oh, ooh.
I don't know for sure, Shauna, because I never had a contraction with my first baby. Oh. Not a real one. Like I had Braxton Hicks all the time, but they were just like slightly uncomfortable, but not painful, right? Like for me, Braxton Hicks would just be like, my stomach would kind of clench up, like it would get rock hard, but it wasn't painful.
Right. I remember that.
So this time I was in bed and I turned onto my back and all of a sudden I got like the feeling of my stomach contracting, being rock hard like they are with Braxton Hicks. But in addition, like really severe pain in my pelvis and like a lot of pressure feeling like on my cervix. And then I was like, is this a contraction? Like it hurt. I had to catch my breath. You know, I definitely couldn't just sleep through it.
No, that sounds like it could be. Did you like start a timer to see if another one would come?
No, because it didn't really occur to me until like after it was over. And then I was like, well, if another one comes, then I'll figure it out. And another one didn't come. So I was just like, well, who knows? Like, was it an actual contraction or was I just like turning over and made the baby jam into my cervix or something? I don't know.
That might be more likely because look, I'm no expert. Everybody who listens knows that. But it seems to me having a one-off actual contraction and then it not coming back, is that common? Is that possible? I don't really know.
Well, I've heard people can be in prodromal labor for like weeks. So I don't know. Does that count? Like what, just having one contraction in the middle of the night and then, or maybe am I having other contractions and I'm just kind of like, but they're mild and I'm not noticing and
maybe.
I don't know, Shauna.
Did you ever get that cervix check from your doctor?
Oh my gosh. I can't believe in all my exhaustion, I didn't do that update.
Oh.
I did. You were right. Yeah. It wasn't that bad. It was slightly uncomfortable. And I am 0 centimeters dilated as of Wednesday. So who knows?
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah. But he wasn't like, oh, you better get ready. He was just like, yeah. He's like, that's a closed cervix right there. I was like, all right.
Well, maybe that contraction did a little something and now you're further along. I guess we'll find out at your next appointment.
Yeah, which is actually not until Thursday because I have to get a COVID test like ahead of time. And so I couldn't go any earlier than Thursday because I needed to have the COVID test like within 4 days of my planned C-section.
Okay.
So there's that. So yeah. And if I test positive, they just assume Corey's positive and he won't be able to join me C-section.
So, you won't test positive. It'll be fine.
Considering I haven't left the house
in
like 2 weeks, I can't imagine how.
No, unless the cats have it, which that's impossible too. So you'll be fine.
Oh no, those cats will be the death of me.
That will.
Anyway, I feel like I've been rambling. I'm so brain fogged. Listeners, if you guys are in your late third trimester and listening to this, my heart goes out to you because I am feeling it right now. And anyone, I hear about these women who go to like 42 weeks and I just cannot even imagine. So kudos to all of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, Shauna, I feel like I just talked forever.
No, it's good. It's good. Like, you have a toddler and you're at the home stretch and it's all interesting and we want to hear about it. But why don't we take a quick break and come back and I'll do my check-in.
Okay, you're so generous. Thank you. Uh-huh. We'll be right back.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
Okay, we are back and my rambling is done. I want to hear what's going on with you this week, Shauna.
All right. Well, we have a little bit of a mystery going on over here in our household. It's one of those what the hell rash is on my kid's skin.
Oh, no.
Mysteries. I know. I don't even know if I would describe it as a rash. Uh-huh. She's been getting these little bumps on her chest, shoulder, and this time they came up on her forehead, and they do seem a little itchy, and there's not a lot of them. And every single time she gets them, I'm like, chicken pox, she's got chicken pox, and I just wait to see if more come. And I don't know, I guess there's other symptoms that go along with chicken pox. Uh-huh. Do you know anything about it?
Well, I know that our children have been immunized against chicken pox, A.
Mm-hmm. There's a funny story about that, but I'll get to that.
Oh, okay. And then, well, yeah, I guess I'm making assumptions. B, your child has not seen any other children to contract chicken pox from in, what, 10 months? That doesn't answer your question about what the rash is. I'm just like, that makes me very skeptical that she actually has chicken pox.
I know. It's probably very unlikely. And the couple times she's gotten this in the past, nothing develops beyond these little bumps. You know, uh-huh. It's not like her full body. But the reason I do think chicken pox is because back when she was 12 months old, that's when she was due for her first chicken pox vaccination. And I remember vaguely, I wish I could remember more specifically, but at that appointment, she was sick. Like she was sick a lot during that winter. Like she had the flu and then she had bronchitis and all this stuff. And so I was talking to the doctor and like, should she get her vaccines while she's ill or not? And he's like, well, let's get the most important ones, which I think was like measles or something like that. And he's like, chickenpox, it's one of those vaccines that it's for convenience, really, you know, because it's an uncomfortable illness, but it's not life-threatening, etc. So why don't we do that one at her next appointment? Mm-hmm. This is the conversation I remember. And then we get to her next appointment and her vaccine card said that she got that vaccine. And so the doctors all rolled with that. And I'm like, you know, I'm the mom that's like, I want to advocate for my kid, but also do I trust my memory? I mean, I honestly don't know. And I don't know if there's a real way to check if she has immunization to that.
Well, I know that when I wasn't sure if I needed my measles vaccine, they did a antibody test to check to see if I needed it. And I didn't because I had like great antibodies to measles. So I bet there's a chickenpox antibody test.
I should check in with the doctor about that because I'd be curious to know. Yeah. And, you know, it's probably highly unlikely that she would get it anyway if most children are being vaccinated for it. It's not like it's going around like it was when we were kids. Oh, my God. No. Did you have it when you were little?
Yeah, I have a super bougie story about it. Uh-huh. I got it in Rome, Italy.
Oh, how fancy of you.
My mom worked for a pharmaceutical company that was based in Rome. And so she had negotiated that she could bring her family along on some of these business trips. And lo and behold, I got it in Rome, Italy. We were staying at like a 4-star hotel in the beautiful ancient city of Rome. And I spent the whole time in the hotel room trying not to scratch myself into a million scars. So,
the scratching. Well, I got mine in a 2-bedroom house in Phoenix, Arizona. So very, very fancy. Maybe 3-bedroom. I don't remember. But, you know, I don't know. I'm just going to keep my eye on them. She doesn't have a fever or anything. And I'm not one to take pictures of my kids' rashes and put them on Facebook groups for people to chime in. So I think it's just going to be a forever mystery in my house, unless someone else, a listener, has this similar experience and has something to weigh in.
Well, you know, you can always send me a picture and I can show it to my mom, especially when she arrives.
Okay.
If it's still happening.
Okay. But, I will remember that.
Yeah. Are they itchy?
I think so. The ones on her forehead, she's been scratching lately.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Poor little thing. So that's that. And then the other thing is that I'm just continuing to struggle to understand what she's saying. And, you know, I overthink this totally because Elle was so verbose. I mean, she still is. And she just spoke really, really, really well and really clearly at this age. And I've been just generally worrying about it. And so an example of this is the other night, I was putting Cece to bed and we read our books and I turned off the light. And usually she kind of snuggles in and is satisfied to go to bed. But the other night she was like, Budai? Budai? And I'm like, Budai? What is that? Is that a book or Budai? Budai? I'm like, oh my gosh, honey, I'm so sorry. I don't know what Budai is. And she got so upset that I couldn't understand her. She started crying. She got down, flopped on the floor. She's like, Budai, Budai. I'm like, oh my God. Well, I don't know. Do you want to go say goodnight to daddy? Like, is she saying goodnight? I didn't know. And so I opened the door and we were going to go say goodnight to daddy again. And as soon as we walk by the bathroom in the hallway, she goes, bush, bush, which I know, which is brush teeth, right? Bush teeth. And I'm like, oh, did we forget to brush your teeth? And she goes, bush, Budai, Budai. And I'm like, oh, blow dry. Blow dry your hair. Oh my God. It took so long for me to figure that out. It's like if the context isn't right immediately in front of me, I don't understand what she's talking about. So finally I was like, oh, you want blow dry for your little wet hair, because she's obsessed with getting her hair blow dried. And I forgot to do it that night. You know, she's very into her routine.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I was just thinking about how frustrating it is for her that I don't understand everything. And so I started thinking that instead of generally worrying about this, I'm like, why specifically am I having a hard time with her language? And so, of course, I Googled it. And the article that came up first, it was so reassuring to me. So the first line of this article was, a two-year-old will typically mispronounce just about any word. Like they can say P, B, and M because they can see the way your mouth makes those letters.
Mm-hmm.
But other letters like K and G are harder for them because you say those words kind of more at the back of your throat and they can't visualize how to do them. And so this article started talking about the different letters that are hard for them to say and how it's completely normal for them to substitute letters and why. Like dog, for example, even though a lot of kids can say dog, it's followed by the g sound. And so in their brain, it kind of gets mixed up. And so it's totally normal for them to say like gog instead of dog. And that's a lot of what she does. And I was like, okay, I think she's just learning her letters. So the point is, instead of generally feeling worried about it and thinking she has some kind of delays, I've broken it down with the help of this Baby Center article to understand why it's hard to pronounce words at that age. And that it's totally normal to mix up letters and drop syllables and do those sorts of things. So it's really helped me feel better about it and more patient, you know, and trying to give her more time to say things and trying harder to understand what she's saying. So that was our blow dry debacle of the week, as I call it.
What'd she call it again?
Budai.
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 So cute.
Which I get now because blow dry, B-L, those kinds of consonant blends where there's two consonants together, blow, dry, D-R, those are very tricky for early language learners. So it's like, oh, okay, you're just pronouncing it the best way you can.
Yeah, and I've read that they also have to like actually physically practice with the muscles. Like you have to actually tone the muscles in order to get those specific sounds out. I mean, I think it's the same reason why that if you learn, you know, one language, like you learn English as a child and then you try to speak something that's completely unrelated as a grown-up, that you don't necessarily, like, you have trouble even pronouncing the words because your muscles can't create that noise.
Oh, totally. Even like rolling your R's in Spanish.
There you go.
You know, that is an example of something that takes practice. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, Budai. Yeah.
Bodai. That's all for us this week. Should we move on to our special segment?
Yeah, let's.
All right, we're back. And this week, our special segment is They Said What? Where we talk about the hilarious, shocking things that people have said to us about parenting, babies, pregnancy, etc. Laura, what do you have for us?
Okay, so my first one, it's not necessarily parenting or baby related, but it's just funny and I wanted to share it because
absolutely.
It has to do with misinterpretation of vague language like things. Let me get into it because that does not describe it very well. Okay. So, my They Said What is from something I found on the Nextdoor app from like a couple months ago, actually.
Okay. And what is Nextdoor for people who don't know?
So Nextdoor is trying to be like Facebook for your immediate neighbors. It's kind of a shit show, if I'm going to be honest. Like, you have to use your real name and you have to be verified as a neighbor. But you know how Facebook kind of like gets you into a bubble of people with similar interests and affinities as you? Nextdoor is just everyone physically around you. So it can kind of devolve. And so this particular one was, there was this post, a woman posted asking about like some loud noises, like were they gunshots? It's pretty much like half of Nextdoor is like, was that gunshots or fireworks?
Oh, okay.
So, right? It was almost, at least in my area, it's almost always fireworks. And someone responded, it was fireworks right outside my window. And then she said, why people? With a question mark, exclamation point. And then she did the emoji. So tell me what you think of this emoji. It's the emoji where there is a smiley face, like with big laughing, like the eyes are closed, the mouth is wide and laughing, and there's tears coming out of either corner. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's LOL. That's laughing like hard.
Yeah, like laughing so hard you're crying, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Laughing tears.
Exactly. Okay. That's what I would say it is, you know, like, oh my God.
Because she's saying like, why these fireworks? LOL, basically, right?
Yeah, like, why would you do that at 5 a.m. right outside of my window, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, a woman named Sharon responds, why? Because it's illegal. That's why. That you find it funny speaks volumes. If anyone here knows this person and where she lives, tell the police she knows who did it.
What?
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Then Margie chimes in. I didn't get the impression that Abigail thought it was funny. Those are tears on her face.
Oh, okay.
And then Abigail, the original, you know, poster on this thread said, excuse me? It was a crying face. I didn't enjoy being woken up at 5 a.m. And then then it devolves into like, I can't believe you're accusing me of saying this thing, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So they're all like getting into a hissy fit. And my they said what is I realized that not everyone agrees on whether that emoji is expressing laughter or crying.
I had no idea there was misinterpretation about that one.
Neither did I, but it got all these neighbors into a fight. Okay. So a lot of people like chimed in and were like, I think it's laughing. I think it's crying. And it became a thing and it triggered a memory of mine that one time I got a text from my mom that was like a group text to my brother and me that was just like a, you know, catching up, telling us what's going on in her world. And then she comments, oh, and I don't know if you heard, but so-and-so passed away. It was so-and-so was like a very loosely related family friend that I hadn't seen in a couple decades who was, I think, in her 90s. So it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like anyone close to me. It wasn't some big revelation. I feel like it's a very mom thing to be like, and did you hear so-and-so died? But she says so-and-so died, and then she put that emoji at the end of it.
Oh, no.
And I realized she thought it was crying, too.
Oh, did you realize that at the time, or do you just realize it now because of this conversation?
Well, I had forgotten about it. At the time, I remembered, and I, like, gently wrote back. I was like, hey, Mom, I think the general interpretation of that emoji is that it's laughing so hard you're crying. So maybe don't use it when you send it to people telling them about so-and-so dying.
Yes.
And then it reminded me also that for the longest time, my mom would sign off on her texts, LOL mom.
Oh no, what did she think LOL meant?
Lots of love.
Lots of love. Oh, yeah, I've heard of people misunderstanding that one too.
Yeah, so this is my they said what. I didn't know where else to put it in our show, but I wanted to share and I want to hear from our listeners whether there have been any like emoji miscommunications, because it's not like it's an evolving type of communication, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that like between Android and iPhone, they look different. So maybe they like get interpreted differently.
That is true.
But I want to know if anyone's had any awkward interactions because of the wrong emoji or acronyms.
Uh-huh. Yeah. If you get the wrong emoji, you really can sit there and be like, they said, what?
Yep. And
yeah, exactly. So yes, I'm curious to know too, listeners.
Yes. All right. So that's my first they said what. A little out of the box. Okay. But Shauna, I want to hear about you. What is your they said what?
Okay, mine is a little bit outside of the box, too, because it's not so much a they said what as a they did what.
Okay.
They did what? Okay. Right after Elle was born, I've talked about this before, my incision got infected, right? It was the worst. Well, I was at the doctor's office, and she was checking it out, and one of the things she said was, Steve, why don't you take a picture of this incision so that you can kind of see if it's getting better or worse? You know, you want like a visual baseline. Now, this picture is just horrible, right? It's total close-up of completely bright red inflamed skin. I don't want to gross people out too much, but my incision reopened a bit, right? And so it's just a picture of a wound. It's a horrible picture.
It's an open wound. I saw it because I accompanied you to one of your appointments.
And yes.
Because
and
I'm not squeamish at all.
You're
I was
not.
Like, let me look.
I know. You saw it when it was much better. It was on the road to recovery. This was the first time it was ever seen by a doctor. And it was, you know, I was just like, what the fuck is going on with my body? And here's Steve being like, click. So this photo is living on his phone, right?
Ugh. Yeah.
Okay, so cut to a couple weeks later when we're ready to have visitors come meet the baby. Our friends Brad and Allison come over for dinner and to meet the baby and bring us food and all of that jazz. And after dinner, Steve's like, I want to show you photos of the hospital, like when we were with the baby and, you know, just share some stuff about our journey with having the baby. And they're like, yeah, sure. And I take Steve to the side. I was like, I know that photo of the incision is in there. Like, just delete it. Like, you cannot show that photo. He's like, I'm not going to show that photo. Come on. We need it for baseline or whatever. And I'm like, okay, fine. So he starts this photo slideshow on the TV, like our giant ass television, right? He's like, what do you call it when you like...
You airplay.
Yeah, that kind of thing. He's beaming the pictures from his phone to this giant ass TV. Like, let's make our friends watch our vacation videos of us in the hospital, just what everyone wants to do. So it's already like off to a great start. So it's like pictures of us with Elle. She's so cute and tiny, all bundled up and blah, 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 blah. And he's scrolling through and, you know, getting to a point where it's like, okay, maybe they're getting bored. Let me scroll faster. And he scrolls through and all of a sudden on the giant ass TV flashes the close up picture of my fucking red inflamed incision open wound. And I was like, oh my God, what have you done? And Brad and Allison are like, and I'm like, oh my God, Steve, you motherfucker. Fucker. I was so mad. I was like almost crying because you know how I am. I'm squeamish about stuff anyway and like completely embarrassed to even have this picture exist and to like Brad and Allison. It's like one thing, Allison, you know, she's my girlfriend. It wouldn't matter that much. Like I let you see my incision. You know what I mean? But like,
yeah,
her husband Brad is there, and I'm just like, oh great, like showing this dude my open wound. Oh my God. I was devastated. So devastated.
So did they have a reaction?
Oh, God bless them.
Are they just being polite?
Yeah, they played it so cool. They were just like, yeah, no big deal. Probably inside like, oh my God, is this what childbirth is? We're literally never having kids ever. I don't know.
You're the one who made it so that they'll never have kids.
Yeah.
They're childless by choice.
No, Steve. Steve's the one. Oh, yes, they are. I don't think it was me, but yeah, I could have just killed him. Steve was so apologetic, right? Like, oh my mm-hmm. God, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I knew you were going to do that. I knew that was going to happen.
Well, that's the thing that's worse about it for me. Like, when you see it coming down the road, mm-hmm. you know this thing is going to happen, and yet you're told, don't worry, mm-hmm. it's not going to happen. And you're like, I knew. This was fucking going to happen. Like, mm-hmm. next time, don't tell me I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Don't brush me off like that. And then I'm mad at myself. I'm like, I should have controlled the video slideshow. Whatever.
It's so funny to me, though, because I have such a completely reverse opinion about this stuff. And I know it's because my parents are doctors. And this was my life growing up. Just stumbling upon really graphic, like, medical pictures.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I grew up with this. I really, really did. This is happening my whole entire life. That I would have been like, oh, cool. Can we see it again? Like,
yeah, go back.
Oh, man, Shauna, that looks so painful. I'm so sorry you're going through that. Like, how does it look now? Do you have any updated pictures?
Oh, so that's why I wouldn't have minded as much as if it were you. It's like, I didn't know how to gauge Brad and Allison's reaction to, like, oh, that medical horror show. Oh, those poor people. I'm like, delete it, delete it, delete it. He's like, okay, I'm deleting. Anyway, really all right. Funny. Okay. Moving on. Laura, do you have another one for us?
I do. I actually have just a collection of little ones, and it's nothing scandalous. I just wanted to share some cute things my toddler has been saying lately.
Oh, okay.
Especially because, you know, we're closing in on, it's the last week, basically, where he's going to be an only child. And so I'm trying to, like, sort of bask in being able to give him my full attention. And so
okay.
The first one I wanted to relate, I don't have an audio recording of, but it cracked me up, which is, like, lately, I think he can tell that the baby is coming, and he's been getting, like, really mommy focused and mommy clingy more than usual. And he's been, like, sniffing me. Just,
oh my
Cece,
God.
Do that at all?
No, uh-uh.
So he'll, like, I'll pick him up, and he'll just, like, lean over and just, like, take, like, a deep breath. Like, he just wants to sniff me. And he'll go, smell mama, smell mama. I'm like, okay. But the other day he did that. I picked him up. He leaned over. He goes, smell mama's boo-boos. You know, I press. I was like, okay. You know, I'm trying not to stigmatize any particular part of my body or whatever. And, you know, he nurses. So I was like, okay, you can smell mama's boo-boos if you want. And he leaned over, took a deep whiff, and goes, minty fresh.
Minty fresh. Oh my God. Were they minty fresh, or is that just something he associates with smell?
I think it's because we, like I said in the intro, we smell mint from the mint plant. And so I've said that to him, like, ooh, what does that smell like? Minty fresh? And he said, so that's how he got minty fresh.
I see.
He just associates that. Because no, I don't use, like, a mint lotion or anything.
Uh-huh.
That cracked me up so bad.
Minty fresh.
All right. So the other thing that I think is so cute is, you know, we live in Pasadena, and for some reason lately, he has been calling it Pasadena Town.
Uh-huh.
So whenever we look out the window, he goes, there's Pasadena Town.
Oh, that's so cute.
But I have this little audio recording I just want to play where he's talking about Pasadena Town, and he's doing his thing where he's like really into kisses lately. So he'll be like, kiss forehead, kiss this, kiss that. Mm-hmm. And so I've got this little audio recording of him from, like, a week ago. Ready? Mm-hmm. What'd you say?
Kiss Pasadena Town.
Kiss Pasadena Town?
I can't kiss Pasadena Dad. I can kiss you.
Kiss Daddy.
Kiss Daddy. Daddy's on the kitchen. I'll give Daddy a kiss in a second.
I kiss the lights.
Kiss the lights? I can't reach the lights. What do we say? We don't kiss stuff. We kiss people and animals.
Yeah.
And what else sometimes, according to Daddy?
Toves. Yes.
Trophies, that's right.
Animals.
Yeah, I give Magnus and Cal kisses, huh? Daddy doesn't.
Kiss a butt.
I'm not going to kiss your butt.
On my butt.
I'm going to pat your butt. Pat, 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 pat. Can you give Mama a big kiss?
On my butt.
What about your butt?
On my butt.
You want me to pat, pat, pat your butt? Pat, pat, pat.
Start a song.
Start the song on that? Yes. We don't need to start the song on it right now. It's. Can you give baby brother a big hug?
No.
Okay. You did it earlier.
I just thought it was so cute. He's just going, kiss Pasadena Town?
Yes.
Kiss the butt?
Oh my God, that's so cute. What is Kiss Trophies all about?
Oh, so he would go through his whole thing where he'd be like, you know, kiss forehead, kiss cheeks, kiss whatever. And then he'd say, kiss light, or like you heard there, or like kiss couch or whatever. And he just wants, and so we'd say, no, we don't kiss things. We kiss, and I would say, we kiss people and we kiss animals. Cause, you know, I pick my cats up and give them like a kiss on the head or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Corey would be like, and trophies. And trophies sometimes. So that became the thing. And that's why he's like, Tophies? Tophies?
Oh my God. Corey's not wrong.
People do. I usually say like other people do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I guess I've never had a chance.
Yes.
And then the final one, I just thought this was so funny. You know, we don't do a lot of screen time, as I've talked about, but every once in a while we'll just like have the TV on when he wakes up from a nap or something. And one of our favorite mindless things to watch is HGTV.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how you feel about HGTV.
I don't have that channel, so I don't watch it, but I'm sure I would like it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's Love It or List It, Property Brothers, it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been having a little bit of like constipation lately. So we've been giving him prune juice here and there, which to help with that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day, this is what happened. I asked him, I said, you know, like, do you want to go outside? What do you want to do today? And then this is how he responded. What do you want to do today?
More.
What do you want more of?
HGTV.
HGTV. So what do you don't want to go see the horsies? You don't want to go to the park and ride your scooter? What do you want to do while you're watching HGTV?
Some prune juice.
You want to drink prune juice and watch HGTV?
Yes.
I was like, oh my God.
Just what every 2-year-old wants to do, you know? Or 80-year-old, I don't know.
Drink prune juice and watch HGTV. I know, he's like 2 going on 70.
Oh, I love it.
So those are just a cute little sampling. I have so many more, but I'll save them. He's so verbal and it's so cute and also just like baffling where he comes up with some of the things he wants to do.
Yes.
Oh, like I was literally offering to take him to go watch horses at like a nearby stable. And he was like, no, I want to drink prune juice and watch HGTV.
Gotta watch those Property Brothers.
I mean, so you got to find out if they love it or list it.
Exactly. He knows.
He knows. All right. So that's my little they said what. He just melts my heart. He's so,
so cute.
So I want to hear, do you have one more they said what?
I do, but should we take a break and come back with it?
I think that's a good idea.
Let's do it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors, there's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely.
Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by L'Olivie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With L'Olivie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter L'Olivie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at L'Olivie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
L'Olivie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at L'Olivie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at L-O-L-A-V-I-E.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
All right, we are back, and you've got one more They Said What for us, right, Shauna?
I do. Well, I have two short ones, both that Elle has said. Okay, so the first one, I was in the kitchen, and I overheard Elle and Cece playing together in the living room, and I just love listening to them play. You know, they're funny, too, the things they come up with. And I heard Elle say, Cece, do you know who the most wonderful person in the world is? And I'm like, oh my God, she's going to say me. This is so sweet. I just can't wait to hear her say mommy. It's going to be amazing. And then Elle answers, it's me. Just like, oh my God. You know, in my musings of like before she answered, and I was like, it's me, it's me. Also, part of me was like, oh, she's going to say some crazy thing, you know, because kids are so crazy. Like, who's the most wonderful person in the world? Elmo. Or just like, I was also kind of maybe expecting a left field answer.
Yeah.
And then she's just like, nope, it's me. I'm the most wonderful person. I'm like, God, she has such confidence.
So much confidence. I guess you don't have to worry about self-esteem.
No. God, no, not at all.
She's... Did Cece agree?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. She loves her big sister so much. Oh, my God. So I'm sure she was just like, yeah, you're right. It's you. The other one, I had gotten out of the shower and I'd done my makeup one day, probably because I had a Zoom meeting or something like that. and was feeling like good and pretty. And Elle came in to use the bathroom or something. And she looked at me and she got kind of close and she was like looking at my face. And she said, "Mama, you look like a cartoon character." And I was like, "I do?" She's like, "Yeah, because of your saggy eyes and squinty lips."
Oh, my God.
I was like, like all that confidence I has was like, which is not totally true because I understand she's only four and just says whatever. I was also just like cracking up. Yeah. So I'm like, saggy eyes. Oh, cool, cool, cool. Right after I put on mascara to try to like look bright eyed. And squinty lips, whatever the hell that means.
I mean, it's very evocative language.
It is. It is very poetic. Like you can picture a cartoon character, I guess, with saggy eyes and squinty lips. And I'm just like, oh, of course, geriatric motherhood meets four-year-old honesty. Living the dream over here.
Oh, that's sweet, though. Yeah. I mean, she's noticing you.
Yes.
And I feel like being told you're like a cartoon character is probably high praise for a four-year-old.
That's true. The cartoons are her favorite thing probably in the entire world.
By the way, almost five-year-old.
I know. She's going to be five next week.
I know. Yeah. My goodness. Mm-hmm. I guess that's a spoiler for next week's episode.
Yeah. Yes, it is. All right. So those are mine. Should we move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
Yeah. Let's.
All right. All right, Laura, you are up first for our weekly BFPs and BFNs. What do you have for us?
Okay, I have a BFP.
Okay.
Which is, I think, my first legitimate pregnancy craving.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, I feel like I've had some, you know, I've wanted ice cream and stuff, but like, you know, nothing really out of the box. Like, just, I just want like all the carbs. But for the last 2 weeks, at least 3-4 times a week, I have been making Avgolemono soup.
What? Come again?
I think I'm pronouncing it right. It's a Greek lemon chicken soup. Ooh. Called Avgolemono.
Uh-huh.
And I used to make it all the time in my like early 20s, and I had like forgotten about it. And in this like late third trimester, it suddenly occurred to me that like I, you know, haven't made it in forever. And I just needed it. Like I like wanted it and needed it. So I started making it for myself and it's so good. And I just wanted to share the basics of it because it's super easy and maybe other people might want to try it.
Yes, I want to try it. So give us the rundown. What does it entail and how do you make it?
You can get really, really fancy with it if you want, like add all this stuff to it. But like the basic ingredients are some type of chicken stock, orzo or rice. I use orzo, which is like the rice shaped pasta, right?
Mm-hmm.
Egg and lemon juice. That's it, right? Like four ingredients.
Mm.
And all you do is you like boil the chicken broth, chicken stock. I like use a, you know, I use a bone broth from Costco that I always get in bulk. Then you throw in the orzo. You don't really have to measure. You just throw in however much you want. Wait till the orzo's done. It takes like 6-7 minutes. Then what you do is in a bowl, you like whisk up an egg. So like, here's what I do. I do like a half liter of the chicken broth, and like I just say half liter because like I have a pot that has that marking in it, like it has like a half liter and a full liter. So like there's about a little over four cups in a liter, so it's like two cups of broth. So like 2 cups of broth, then you take like one egg and you whisk it up in a separate bowl. And the important thing is like what you do is you have to temper it. So you take like a ladle and you slowly pour in the hot broth into the egg as you're whisking it. You don't want it to be like egg drop soup where like you can like see the bits of egg, because like the minute the egg hits the hot broth, it'll like cook, right? But you want it to be blended. So you just take a ladle and you like slowly whisk in the hot broth. Once you've done that enough so that the like egg is steaming, you pour it back in to your pot and turn off the heat.
So what's the consistency of that?
It just makes it a little like creamy.
Okay.
Like it doesn't make it super thick or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So then you pour it back in. You turn off the heat, and then you just like squeeze half of a lemon in it, and then salt and pepper to taste, and that's it. So it's like a really mild chicken soup, but with the added like protein of the egg, and like the kick of the lemon. And I swear to God, I've made it like 10 times in the last 2 weeks,
oh,
at least.
Wow. What aspect of it are you craving? The tanginess or what do you think?
I think maybe part of it, too, is it's like really easy to digest, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's good for heartburn. It doesn't like flare anything up, and it's been chilly, so it's like just nice and warm and cozy. Mm-hmm. And the bonus is that I ended up making some one day, and my toddler wanted to try it, and he actually loved it.
Oh,
so
nice.
We got to share it. Uh-huh. So it could be a good toddler soup.
Yeah,
too.
Definitely. I'm always surprised how much my kids like soup. They really are into it. So I'll have to try that one.
Yeah. But it's spelled A-V-G-O-L-E-M-O-N-O, Avgolemono.
Oh,
so,
okay.
And there's a million recipes, but it can be super, super easy like that. And you can whip it up in like 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So, and I think I'm going to try to do a little tutorial on like our Instagram reels or something.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah. But yay. I kind of feel like special. Like I finally have a pregnancy craving. It took two full pregnancies before I got there.
You didn't have any in the first one either, huh?
Not nothing weird, like nothing special or weird, just all the ice cream, you know?
Yeah, I never had anything weird either. It was just like bolognese, bagels, and bolognese and bagels were my big ones.
Yeah, so that is my BFP.
Nice.
Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
I have a BFP.
Cool.
My BFP is a cardboard box.
Okay.
So exciting. But to kids, cardboard boxes are really exciting.
Oh my God, yes.
Yes, they love them. And I got a really big cardboard box because I had a chair delivered over Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And the girls love playing in it, etc. And then Elle was like, can you make this into a house for us? And I was like, oh, totally. And so then it's fun for me too to kind of figure out, okay, what can I do? I get out the packing knife and cut a door for them. And then, it's like, oh, do you want a window? Yeah, where do you want the window? And we cut little windows that they can open and close. And I found another box and we made a roof on top and they decorated it and colored it and everything. And this cheapo box house has been getting so much attention for the last few weeks. It's fantastic. They play in it outside sometimes. We'll bring it in the house. They play in it. And it's just so fun and cute. It's especially cute to see them peek their little heads out the window and they're like, hello. Uh-huh. And it's just cute and fun. And so I encourage people to get creative with the boxes they receive in the mail.
I have to say that this is a way that cats and kids are the same.
Oh, do cats love boxes too?
This is how I know you don't have a cat, Shauna. Cats fucking love boxes. I have some photos of my kid. Like the thing that happens is you get something in a box and the cat immediately jumps in the box. I have photos of that. And then I have photos of my toddler doing the same thing. So
we'll have to
post those because boxes are amazing.
Yes, they are. Yep, especially big boxes. I remember playing in big boxes when I was little. Like my parents got a new refrigerator or something. It's just oh my God, it was the most magical thing ever.
We have a thing now because we had Christmas and then we had my son's birthday. And now I'm having stuff delivered for the new baby. It's just like box city around here.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he sees a box on our doorstep, he like looks out the window and can see the delivery person delivering it. He's like, open up the box, open it to the box. And we're just like, okay, like we'll get to it when we have time. He's like, open it, the box. Because he knows like good stuff is in there.
Oh, yeah. My kids are so attuned to packages. If Alexa like, announces a package, it's like, oh, my God, they're running to the door. It's so exciting.
Oh, boy. These kids.
These kids in this day and age. Too funny.
Too funny.
So that's it from me. Should we wrap this episode up?
I think we should. I am tired.
Yeah, you need to go take a nap. Listeners, if you have anything you want to share with us, you know we want to hear it. Do you have some They Said Whats? Do you have any feedback on the cry laughing emoji that Laura talked about earlier? Send us a message. We want to hear from you. Laura, where can they reach us?
We're at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can always include a voice memo in that email to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. Finally, join our Facebook community group. It's an awesome private group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community, answer the two membership questions so I know you're not a robot, and you'll get sent right through to all the great conversations we're having in there.
And please, if you love our show, rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts, and let your friends know about Big Fat Positive. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.